It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Ugh. A terrible way to start. I even gave you a heads up that we were going to start, and you saved that.
I thought there was a delay.
Well, here we are. Oh, God. What's up, man?
Not much, buddy. You're looking all fresh-faced.
Took it down.
Yeah.
Harvested.
Looks good, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you shaved your beard.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like a bit of a uniform. You know what set it off? Somebody, like, you know, when you are... I'm not going to say I'm famous, but a public figure.
But you're famous in the comedy world.
Well, and just the fact that people just address you online, strangers, and just tell you whatever they feel like. And there's some dude on Instagram like, man, don't ever shave your beard. Like people that saw me on Love, like, don't ever shave your beard. As soon as somebody says it, I'm like, oh, I got to shave my beard.
Yeah.
Because as soon as somebody... Because you know what you're saying when you say that is that I'm ugly.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. My face is unacceptable.
You got a face for radio.
Yeah,
you got a face for podcasting.
Don't ever shave. Don't ever stop covering up your face. And I just wrote back to that dude, too. I'm like, you know, you just told me I'm ugly. No. And then the backtracking began. And then it's like, I don't want to block anybody online. But like, then people start like all of a sudden, like just like. Every few days, hey, look, it's not an open dialogue, man. And so I just block the dude. I'm like, I don't. No, man, we're not pals. I called you out for calling me ugly, and you don't know what to do with yourself because somebody responded to your bullshit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but that was like a month or so ago. But I was like, yeah, I just walking into every comedy show, and that's like, that's like the uniform.
Yeah,
I kind of wanted to change it up.
I felt that way for a while. I justify it by knowing that I've had this beard way before beards were cool.
But you got pictures of you as a young man online, and you're a striking gentleman.
I was a striking gentleman. Now I'm just too fat, so I'm. This is just the typical fat guy beard.
But you have like a strong jaw. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just have my teeth, and I don't even have a double chin. I just have the fat part of a double chin, and that's it.
No, I think just because you're so used to the beard that you're self-conscious about that. You got a fine chin.
I got a big round head. But yeah, it just felt good. Like, especially when you like, I hate the feeling of relying on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like it being
like being a crutch. Like, oh, that was you know, and it was for a while. Like, oh, like. 11 years ago in comedy, if you walked on stage with a big stupid beard, people were like, what's this guy? Mm-hmm. Like, we'd get people's attention. Now it's the norm.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't mean shit.
Well, for me, too,
could
it was...
Done the same with these tattoos. These didn't have to be around forever. These don't mean shit anymore.
To me, it's just a reminder to myself that, you know, not to sound like... douchey about it, but like I'm part of the counterculture. Like I'm not a 9-to-5er. I'm not a white collar guy. You know,
yeah.
With the tats and the beard. It just.
But that doesn't mean that anymore.
No, I guess not. Yeah.
I mean, that's like how far rappers have to tattoo their faces to prove that they're part of the counterculture. I'm like, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I think I just want to be part of the culture again.
No
if
counter.
If everybody's part of the counterculture, it's not a counter to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's why you find more and more. Now I don't want to dive into this, but you find more and more like right-leaning people just because everything's to the left, at least in the world we live in, comedy and hanging out in the most, you know, and good. I'm glad that, but I think more and more people like that is when was it Richard Spencer, that dickbag was like when he was like, but he's like, what he was saying, like conservatism is the new punk rock. Like he was saying, I think he meant that in the sense. But, yeah, it's the new counterculture. It's going against the mainstream, which I understand the terminology in that. But also you have to look at punk rock as just a frustrated white men angry about their misunderstanding of the world. So mm-hmm. in that case, yeah, your fucking movement is pretty punk rock. So
yeah.
It's a bunch of white dudes punching at problems you don't have. So anyway, yeah. my two cents. Podcast over.
Going back to the guy calling you out or saying you don't shave your beard, what is the urge to constantly correct people on Twitter or online? And let me preface this by saying
I rarely do.
I am so thankful that people even give a shit about me or what I'm doing. You know, anytime someone reaches out to me, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, because the alternative could be like just complete anonymity. Nobody, which was my career for 10, 12 years up until recently. But I had a thing the other day. I was ranting on Twitter about Bank of America, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But, and I just said, you know, they keep your money for 60 business days. Mm-hmm. And then I followed up, I was like, that's 3 months. Mm-hmm. And some guy's like, actually, that's 2 months. And I'm like, 60 business days is 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for chiming in, though. What is the need to... Okay, first of all, if you're going to correct somebody and call them out...
Be correct.
You better be fucking correct. You fucking dickhead. Like, but also just the, actually... Well, yeah. Actually, stick it up your fucking ass. I know what I'm saying. Like, what is that? What is the need to do that?
I think, I don't know, man. I know the psychological studies of what social media does to people. You used to have to go to an open mic to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you get weirdos. People weren't even comedians, but you could sit back and go, like, they need this.
Yeah.
At least you got out of your house and waited and got mm-hmm. your 5 minutes to piss and moan.
Yeah.
Like, if Bank of America screwed you over and you waited and you're going to give the world a piece of your mind mm-hmm. 5 minutes at a time. And now everybody gets to voice their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only if you acknowledge that you hear it does it matter.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Look at number of posts versus number of followers.
Yeah.
It's how much you talk versus how much people are listening.
And that guy wasn't being malicious.
No,
you know, he even responded once I corrected him, like, ooh, I'll see myself out. But like, and it's fine. I don't take a personal offense to it, but like, hey, dumb fuck, why don't you, first of all, like we said, if you're going to fucking try to correct somebody, you better be 1,000% sure that you are correct.
I think you're giving them more credit, thinking they're putting more thought into what they're writing too. So people's like being on Twitter is just like sitting in a conversation. Oh, I'll respond. Oh, I was wrong. Okay, yeah. Like, they're not putting as much weight on it. I just...
But it's more so than that, though. It's more than just a conversation, because that's what we're doing. You and I are having a conversation. If you say something wrong, oh, well, you were still playing the game. No one asked for his 2 fucking cents.
No.
I didn't ask for anybody to chime in.
That's 99.9% of social media. Nobody asked for your 2 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know. This is an old man rant hole we could fall down. And another thing.
Yeah. What else been going on, buddy?
I've just been out in the mountains, man.
Oh, yeah? You've been bike riding?
Riding the bikes.
Any bears? Any bobcat?
No, that was just, that was that one last week. I didn't see any nature.
Hmm.
Saw some deer. No, I saw deer yesterday. Hmm. 2 days ago. And then this one, oh, God.
Did you get red?
Shredding the gnar, man.
Did you shred?
Yeah, shredding it. It's getting real rad. It's getting super rad. I fall, but it's the dumbest fall. This one, there was just so many rocks on the trail. Like, I'm all right. And then one rock would bump me, like, to the left, and another one, and I'm like, bushes! And I just rode into the bushes.
Huh.
And then fell the other way.
Have you, like... Martial artist will learn how to fall. Have you learned how to fall correctly?
No.
No, and there's not a technique that, like, you bail and then you do a technique where you don't kill yourself?
Well, I mean, like, the stunt people, it's like, I know I'm going to fall.
Uh-huh.
I'm riding the bike. It's not like, actually, there are some times where it's like, oh, yeah, here you go.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, I got pads, I got a helmet. Mm. Kind of like, all right, man, this is why you put this shit on.
Yeah.
So, I told you couple weeks ago, I crashed, and I was wearing... there you go.
Get out of here.
I was wearing knee pads, and I was just by myself, and I slid out in a bunch of gravel, but like, I saw the knee... But I had the knee pad,
okay.
I was excited, and as I was falling, I just went, knee pads! And I was like... just excited they were doing their job.
Deep ass.
Yeah, because it was a silly fall. I wasn't going super fast. There was no, like, cliffs I was going to fall off of. So it's like, yeah, it's part of it. Here we go. Knee pads. Like, good job, fellas.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I'm just out there. I'm just out there having a good time.
When I was a teenager, we used to heckle. Me and my friends would heckle people in public because we were just idiot shithead teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
But the game was you just – all you do is just say what they're doing in a real sing-songy, sarcastic tone. Oh. Like we drive by like a guy on a skateboard and we just roll their window down and go, skateboard! That's a fun game to play.
I agree with that.
Jogging! Yeah, okay. What? Yeah, I'm jogging. What?
It's not really an insult. They're just saying what I'm doing, but it sounded like an insult.
Oh, boy.
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, man. The good times keep a-coming. Having a great... It's a summer of Dave.
What happened?
Dad died. All my money's gone. There's other things that happened that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet. And then 2 days ago, I got in a goddamn wreck. It's a good summer. Things are good. I got rear-ended. Just boom. It was like a domino effect. I was the second collision. Mm-hmm. Lady behind me. Where I'm driving on. Anybody knows the LA area? I'm in Glendale on San Fernando, going south, directly under the 134.
By where the Big Fish was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's that? Golden Road Brewery, right over there. Yeah. So. There's a red light. We're all kind of coming to a slow stop there. And the lady behind me just, the guy behind her, I don't know what he was doing, texting, whatever, but he just smashed the shit out of her.
So he was the.
Yeah, he was the at-fault driver. And then that impact shoved her car into the back of mine, which the second impact, the one that impacted me, was pretty severe. I can't imagine. You know, well, I saw the damage to her car, but just a boom and then a boom. And but like I didn't even see it coming. I wasn't looking in the rear view. I was just looking ahead, slowing down, and then just wham. Like I heard the first boom.
That's
and then a split second.
When you hear it behind you and you tense up, that's when you get in trouble physically. Like, kind of loose.
Yeah. So fortunately, not a lot of damage. I couldn't believe there was as minimal damage to my car as there was based on the collision. It was a pretty violent collision.
Good on the Sienna.
But Sienna, you know, it's a workhorse. But fortunately not hurt. But you know,
well, let's see what next week's episode has for us.
Another great thing going on, and then an update on the money situation. We're at day 8 right now. Still no money back in my account. I call them every day. And annoy the shit out of them. And they won't even let me speak to the investigator, the fraud investigator, because I got some questions for him. Here's one thing. I don't know if I pointed out last week. Okay. Initially it happened last Wednesday. So on a Wednesday, they took everything I own minus $8. I don't know why they left $8.
Oh, because they're on your side.
Wipe me out. Minus $8. Okay. This is on Wednesday. I call, 4 hours later, they're able to give me what they call a provisional credit. They put the money back in, and then they said, with the caveat of, look, we're going to do an investigation. If it turns out that you stole your own money, we're going to take this back. But, you know, it sounds like you were a victim, so we're going to give you the money back. And I was like, great, no harm, no foul. They did not freeze my account, so the very next day, I got hit three more times. Presumably by the same people.
You told them.
Yeah. But here's my question. Like, okay, if on Wednesday that I get frauded and y'all have to give me money back, how about freeze my account or maybe put a note in the account that so when the very next day
in the same place confirmed you're not in.
Exactly. You know, so they let whomever this was the very next day go and do it again. And now they won't, because now it's happened twice. They're not giving me the provisional credit. They're going to wait till the investigation is complete, which could be 60 business days. So I'm just without my money. But it's like, and I told them yesterday, I was like, hey, Bank of America, aren't you a little bit responsible for not even for letting it happen a second time?
The government's established that banks aren't responsible.
Jesus. And like, what do they expect? They expect people to just spend 3 months without their money? And I told her, I was like, I'm not rich. I don't have multiple accounts stashed around. Like, this is all my money. And no, just, well, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
No accountability.
Talked about that before. Fuck a bank, man. Fuck a bank.
Everybody keeps telling me to join a credit union or something, but like, how's that different? Like, someone can hack my account in a credit union just as much, unless credit unions have policies where they really do cover their customers' ass. Like, you know, oh, if you get hacked, we'll give your money back immediately.
No, that's what we're talking about. That's why people use credit cards for things.
Yeah.
Banks are shit.
But
I don't know. I don't know, man. What are we going to...
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'm feeling good, though, man. Lost 7 pounds this week.
See?
It's a suitcase off the Queen Mary, but,
You're drinking a... I mean, this is not our sponsor, but what are you drinking?
Drinking a Celsius. It's like a all-natural Red Bull, like an all-natural energy drink.
Why is it called Celsius?
I have no idea. I don't know. Science? It's pretty tasty. No booze, no sugar, no carbs all week. 7 pounds in 5 days.
You gotta have a vent, man.
Yeah, no. Especially with what's going on.
It's crushing you. And you're going to deny yourself
just gonna snap.
Any outlet? Yeah, man. You're going to go full falling down.
Oh, man. Been eating a lot of poke bowls.
I like a poke bowl.
I did. 2 years ago, I didn't even know what a poke bowl was. Now I can't get enough.
Now they won't let you not know.
Yeah.
Every corner.
It's good stuff, man. Just raw fish.
Fish in like a salad.
Yeah.
Fish salad. Like a sushi salad, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can put different things in it. The one I had yesterday, just a bunch of seaweed. And just weird green seaweed, and it was tasty.
Seaweed's good.
And then a bunch of raw salmon, and then just like some sort of ginger sauce. Oh, yeah. It's great. It's real good.
Is it one of the places where you can like put it together yourself?
Mm-hmm. You just kind of tell them what you want.
Like ocean chipotle?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a little of this, a little of that. Yeah. Let's do it. Hey, I want to talk about some relationship stuff real quick.
What you want to talk about,
I want to talk about my feelings.
You want Dr. Phil this shit?
No, I wanted to get someone else's opinion on this. All right, Katie and I, Katie's a wonderful gal. Mm-hmm. By the way, still doing free fitness classes every Monday and Friday at Griffith Park. If anybody in the L.A. area wants to do some circuit training, she's trying to get her little personal training business off the ground, so she decided to do a bunch of free classes just to kind of spread the word. So, but anyway.
Right in the park, right in a nice place.
Yeah, right there in Griffith Park. I mean, Griffith Park's huge, but anybody who's interested, holler at me. I'll give you the specific address where she's at. But anyway, great gal. We got a great relationship. Really, really dig her. Cool gal. But we had not an argument, not a fight, but like one of those playful arguments. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we're not fighting, but we're clearly disagreeing, like a friendly debate.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if this is a stereotype or cliche with women, but a big fan of the pillows. Just so many pillows. Just all over the house. Got like 7 pillows on the couch, 8 or 9 pillows on the bed. Just everywhere you turn is a goddamn pillow.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
I don't understand. I've just come from a guy who slept in a vehicle for 3 years. I only had one pillow. No room for extracurricular pillows. But anyway, so I was like, look, what's going on with these pillows? And like, plus, Katie's the kind of gal, too. Like, she doesn't just go to bed. She just stays up until she passes out. She's like, she doesn't drink anymore, but she still blacks out. She'll just stay up, and then a switch goes off, and it's like she got shot with a tranquilizer gun.
Well,
just boom. Like, and she'll just go into the bedroom, and like, she's asleep before her head hits the pillow. So she'll starfish the whole bed. She'll take all 9 or 10 pillows. So, you know, and I always stay up a little later, and I'm like, all right, I'll be in there in a little bit. So when I come in, she's got there's no pillows on my side of the bed. She's just, and it's like, you know, it's like, and she's not I'm reluctant to say she's a big gal because that has a negative connotation. She's very fit and trim, but she's tall.
Yeah.
She's 5'11", so she takes up a lot of space when she's all sprawled out. And so it's
like
just
like a Great Dane.
Yeah. I go in, it's like a dead dog on the bed, then I can't move her, and there's no pillows. And I said, look, which pillows are mine? That's all I'm asking. You got 10 damn pillows in here. I want to know which ones are mine. And they're all different colors and stuff, so it's not like you can't tell them apart.
Viscosities?
Yeah, different, yeah. different soft thicknesses things. And all that. But she's like, what's it matter? And I'm like, well, I want my own pillow. Give me one or two that are mine. And she's like, just grab whatever. I'm like, well, first of all, I can't grab whatever because she's got them in headlock. She's sticking them up her ass. She's just got all these pillows. And but she just acted like I was being a diva because I want my own designated pillow. And I'm like, I'm doing you a favor. I'm sweating and drooling all over these things. It's disgusting.
I caught myself this morning. I woke up. Yeah.
You don't want to use my pillows. That's what I'm saying. Like, give me designated pillows. You have your seven pillows and give me one or two.
Yeah, I thought somebody hid some old roast beef in one of them pillows this morning. I woke up like, God damn. That was like, it used to just be in the beard. I would drool into my own beard.
Didn't you used to have a joke about pillows, like the stains?
Oh, yeah, yeah, about...
What was that?
Like, just don't ever look at your pillows, like all the stains and stuff.
It's so gross.
That's on a pillow. And then you have to realize, like, you did that.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff that happens at night.
Came out of your head.
Yeah. This is what you do when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrible realization.
Ugh. And that was kind of my point. Was
she
like,
just want your own. Put your own pillowcases on her so you know which ones are yours.
But she just acted like I was, that was just a mountain too far to climb. Like, you know, ugh, okay, diva. And I'm like, I'm not being a diva because I want my own damn pillow. But, so that's, I guess we're doing good if that's the extent of our arguments right now.
Well, that's not so bad. You're just having little cute little lover's quarrels.
Yeah.
About your pillows.
I don't know. But, and she's, I don't know, man. Plus living with some healthy person and stuff's like...
That's rubbing off. You lost 7 pounds.
That's true. But she doesn't know. She gets the munchies like crazy, but she doesn't know what she's doing. She sucks at the munchies. Just no clue. She's eating. She's on a dried pasta kick. She'll get high as shit and just eat a bunch of dried pasta like a mentally challenged fourth grader.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? I'll cook that. We can get real food. She just... Ugh, and it, like, I don't know. When I plan my munchies out, I know they're coming.
Well, you could just have other snacks.
Yeah, she's just eating oatmeal and dried pasta and just...
Yeah, that's not fun. What's the point of eating?
Yeah, I'm like, just if you're going to do it, just go all the way. But yeah, she doesn't like to cook.
That's why she's in shape.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm eating a bunch of dried pasta. I mean, that's like a psychopath. That's a crazy person eating dry, just handfuls. Just she'll just grab 20.
I'm not gonna say at some point just going down one piece of uncooked spaghetti just for a texture change up.
Yeah,
just a little snap, 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 snap. You know, just get in there.
But there's no flavor. There's no.
I like
taste.
Chewing ice. I'm one of them people. You know, that's a weird thing. People that chew ice. I'm one of those guys. Love it. Love chewing ice.
I do that kind of subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for your teeth.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, today's episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon.
Who's that?
They make underpants and
stuff. Oh, I thought it was just a dude.
Yeah, Mack Weldon. He sounds like he'd be like a socially conscious rapper. But it's not. Mack Weldon is a guy or a company, and he makes underpants and socks and all kinds of stuff. And I got some. They're like breather. Like they breathe.
Yeah.
Let your junk breathe.
Yeah, they sent us some stuff. I got some cool boxer briefs. I got some cool socks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. It's just boom, boom, boom. It's the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and more that you're ever going to wear. They also have a line. Are you talking about the silver underwear?
I didn't get the silver, but you know, it's silver. They're naturally antimicrobial, which I appreciate in their copy.
Yeah.
They put in parentheses, which means they eliminate odor.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have known. I'm like, oh, antimicrobial. Get the fuck out of here, microbials. But oh, I guess microbials is the stink.
Yep. They want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still send you a refund. No questions asked.
I would ask questions if I was there. Like, why not? Tell me why you don't like them. You're just going to keep them? That sounds like they're really... Well, I knew that.
Yeah, they want you to enjoy it, though. Not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. It's good for working out, going to work, going out on dates, everyday life, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Just get you some and have fun. Plus, want to let you know that for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Boogie at checkout. MackWeldon.com, promo code Boogie. And yeah, I mean, they're
B-O-O-G-I-E.
Exactly. But yeah, and if you're not even in the market for if you're not in the market for underwear right now or
when
socks,
aren't you?
Yeah, but they got t-shirts, they got hoodies, they even got like luggage. I think they're sending me like a cool some sort of cool travel bag. So they got all kind of cool stuff. So check, they got wallets, all kind of stuff.
I just want breathable underpants. If I could, the closest, if I could just get like the mesh from a swimsuit and just wear that, if that was acceptable, I would wear that. Just fishnets.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Literal fish. I just catch of the day. Just a shrimp and two scallops down there. That's about it.
But this really is top line stuff. I'm a kind of guy that's never really spent a lot of money on underwear, even though if you think about it, I think my dumb part of my logical brain's like, well, very few people see my underwear, so what's it matter? But you wear it every
comfort, that's
man.
The first thing
you got to get that comfortable stuff, man.
Boxer brief guy.
I'm a boxer brief guy. Yeah,
I like. Yeah, I don't want to wear tighties. I don't want the elastic coming up in my ridges.
No,
but I like having everything secure.
Yeah, the regular boxers. There's too much flipping and flopping going on. So
yeah, and then the legs are like up.
Yeah, as Kramer says, my boys need a home.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but yeah,
very much so.
Really comfortable stuff. Really nice underwear, socks, t-shirts, underwear. They even got long underwear. All kinds of cool stuff. 20% off your first order. MacWeldon.com promo code Boogie at checkout.
What are we talking about this week?
You know what we're going to talk about today? Yeah, we can get into it, man.
I know some people are like, they never get to the topic. It's like, all right, well,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, go listen to another podcast where we do get to it.
Well,
where they get to it.
Here's a topic that I've been meaning to get to. Somewhat topical, no pun intended.
Topical topics.
Nuclear weapons. That's been in the public consciousness, I mean, for 60 years now, but especially in the last, ever since Trump got in office and the whole Trump and North Korea and, you know.
What did I read? That China might want to start a war now?
Yeah. And I never really thought too much. Nuclear weapons, that's just one of those, to me, up until now, it's just been one of those ambiguous terms of, like, you know, world war and, like, you know, really high stakes combat. But I started thinking, like, how many nuclear weapons are out there? And nobody really knows because China, Russia, no one's claiming, no one's given an accurate inventory. Yeah. You know, no one wants to, you know, Russia's not going to tell us exactly how many and where they are. North Korea's not going to do that. But just wanted to, the topic today, missing nukes.
Some whoopsies. There's some whoopsies out there.
There's a bunch of missing nukes.
Can we call them broken arrows?
Broken arrows. That could also mean a term for like a malfunction nuke. Broken arrow is kind of a encompassing term, but yeah, definitely would fall under missing. But yeah, there's a bunch of missing nuclear. I got to be careful with nuclear. I always want to say nuclear, like I'm George Bush. nuclear weapons. There's a first of all, let's talk about where the non-missing ones are. Like the non-missing ones, the ones that we can't account for. It's kind of scary when you think about, especially in America, just how many nuclear bombs are just all over. There's Los Alamos, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of them there at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. Livermore, California. I don't know where that's at.
Like, where's Livermore? Bay Area.
Okay. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. They got a bunch. There's a whole bunch right in the city limits of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Are we talking storage or are we talking ready to launch silos?
That's a good question. These are all active. So the list I'm reading says that they're active. So I don't know if that means that they're ready to launch or that's just where they're storing them. But yeah, it's something maybe I should have figured out.
This is on the National Park Service website.
Really?
Look up where Minutemen missiles are.
Oh, geez.
The national parks. Now, we were talking about that before. The national parks, that's why people might go missing in national parks. Mm-hmm. We got like missile sites.
Oh, did we? I don't remember covering that point.
I thought we were chit-chatting about
something. We were talking about people missing in national parks. I don't know if I remember the nuclear weapon angle. But, yeah, Amarillo, Texas, Paducah, Kentucky, Largo, Florida, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So just scattered all over America. Yeah. And that's just in America. Now, there's a bunch, obviously, in Russia, China, North Korea's got some. There are no nuclear weapons on the southern hemisphere. So if you live south of the equator, to public knowledge, there's none of those countries, you know, South America, Africa, Australia.
No Aussie nukes.
Yeah, not that anyone's aware of. So that leads me to the main topic is... There's a bunch of missing ones. I'm gonna share with you.
I grew up near Ground Zero for Chicago.
Really?
Did I talk about that before?
I think so. About
Nike missiles are anti-nuke missiles. There's Nike missiles, or an old Nike missile site here in the Santa Monica Mountains.
Really?
Which means that was gonna be like, you know, that's where the defense, like those are the anti-nuke missiles. They would launch by the nuke.
Ones that would shoot down.
And we would go to a place called Nike Park, and that's where they had. It's like train line. We would always like, there's these train lines that would just end out there. And like, oh yeah, so the military could bring anti-nuke missiles. Off Route 53. Ground Zero was Route 83 and North Avenue. I did talk about that.
I do remember.
According to my uncle. So I don't know if you take him as an authority.
Well, here's a few cases of, at least in America, where nukes just went missing. Obviously, most of these are the result of... just accidents, like them being deployed, dropped into the ocean on accident, stuff like that. February 13th, 1950, an American B-36 bomber en route to Alaska, from Alaska to Texas, during a training exercise, it lost power in three engines, began losing altitude. So to lighten the aircraft, the crew jettisoned its cargo, including a 30-kiloton Mark IV, nicknamed Fat Man, nuclear bomb into the Pacific Ocean. Conventional explosives detonate on impact, producing a flash and a shockwave. The bomb's uranium components were lost and never recovered. According to the USAF, whoever that is, what, United States Air Force?
Whoever that is. come here for the facts.
The plutonium core wasn't present, but nevertheless, that bomb has yet to be found, just somewhere in the Pacific Ocean back in 1950. Now, before I get into these other stories, I couldn't really find too much.
Why are you training with a live nuclear?
Yeah, exactly. Now, the question now is, let's say there's a nuclear bomb just floating at the bottom, not floating, but sunk at the bottom of the ocean somewhere. Now, is that bomb now in danger of going off? Or, like, do they have to, like, is there a...
Yeah, I don't know what the mechanism or what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it just erodes.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you can have explosives, but without the thing that detonates it, maybe it's fine. Maybe it's just a big old...
But that causes a two-prong concern. So if it's capable of detonating... then that's one issue we got to deal with. But then the other is, for example, a lot of these have plutonium in them. And is that plutonium just leaking out into the ocean? Like, what's that doing to the environment, to the water, to whatever? So that's scary, too.
I don't know. Fat Man was the bomb. That was the – well, I don't know if that they named – that was what they dropped on Nagasaki.
Was that the same bomb?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the code name for all that. It was the Mark III.
This is obviously a lot of people are aware of this, but Nagasaki and Hiroshima, 3 days apart, we dropped those bombs back in, what, 45 on Japan? I don't know.
That was a war crime.
I don't know which one did what, but between the two, 200,000 people died. I mean, think about that. We dropped two bombs and killed 200,000 people.
It's an interesting sport about in Hiroshima. There's like some, it still stands to mind. It was like one of the only things that's, it's like a metal staircase from inside, or a fire escape.
Oh, really?
It's the only thing left standing.
Really?
That's near Ground Zero. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, to think that was... Was it The Fog of War? It's a real good documentary about Robert McNamara and talking about like what went into making that decision. Him saying, like, if we lose the war, we will all be tried for war crimes for what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just like, I'm getting more and more fascinated with, they say, how people have to be sociopaths to make it as CEOs of business or politics or Hollywood. Like, you have to be able to make decisions that will affect hundreds or thousands of lives. Not necessarily taking them, but firing them. Or just to be in a point where, like, yeah, okay, we're going to drop these bombs on.
I mean, that's crazy.
And kill that many people.
Well, here's what's scary.
And we're scared of people like Kim Jong-un. We're scared of outside leaders. Mm-hmm. That's what we did.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're scared of everyone. We should be scared. People are like, oh, look at what they can do.
Well, and, you know, I don't know enough about politics and how all this stuff works. But just, you know, like Trump and North Korea, you know, like, disarm. We want you to disarm. Yeah. Well, you disarm. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm pro-North Korea, but their argument is you disarm.
No, but yeah. Oh, hey, two guys with guns pointing at each other. Yeah, but you're crazy, so you should put your gun down. Well, then fuck you.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm going to get another gun. That's why it's called an arms race. But, yeah, I don't...
Well, here's
above
what,
our pay grade with that kind of stuff.
But. Here's what's scary to think about that, though. Those two bombs... in 45 in Japan killed 200,000 people. Apparently the bombs that we're making today in the last 20 years are thousands of times more powerful than those bombs. I mean, good Lord.
If there's a nuclear war, that's the end of the earth.
I mean, good God. That's thousands of times more powerful than the ones that killed 200,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I think that would be, but that's the whole, you know, people think that that nobody would launch a nuclear weapon because they know it's, what was it called? It wasn't called the Black Hand. It was like a doomsday device that Russia had that if it detected a nuclear strike and it wasn't told that it was an error or a mistake or it's under control, this machine would, within a certain amount of time, automatically launch all of Russia's missiles.
Jesus.
Just to be like, fucking, you got us? Well, you're getting got to.
Oh, my God.
Like, just just such a, like, fuck you move. Like, so even if Russia's wiped out, there's a device that would still launch all their missiles towards us.
That is so scary.
Yeah. There's meetings. There's meetings of people like that come up with this. Again, sociopaths that still like that are, and I'm not even saying sociopath as a negative term. That's the type of personality you have to be.
Yeah.
You know, a military leader. Like, all right, I'm going to send 100,000 troops over there, and we're going to lose 60,000 of them. We're going to lose that many. I'm saying yes to that.
God damn.
I'm one individual, with a council, but. Saying yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can someone be a serial killer? Fucking probably pretty easily, given if you're a fucking sociopath or a psychopath. Yeah, they're out there. Some of them channel it into just being YouTube stars. But.
Well, and this may be a dumb question, but like you always hear about like the red button. And like, so does Trump have access? Like, could he detonate nuclear bombs? Or is there a whole procedure he has to get approval from military personnel?
I was reading something like every president has the nuclear football, a briefcase or something that contains that. I personally think that there's always an override system, but who gets to decide that?
Yeah.
Is it a majority rules vote within that? You know,
Or is it one of those things where you got to have three people with keys and they all turn them at the same time?
Yeah. I want there still to be something that we don't know that's a safety precaution.
Yeah.
Like that makes, instead of like, nope, just the guy going, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Fuck these people.
I wonder if they put, maybe there's a dummy button. And then they do it, and then they see how the person, like, how they react to their own actions after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like, if it's like, oh, what have I done? Like, oh, okay, good, because there's the real button.
Yeah.
They're like, we got to do this.
Or like in a movie when someone has an unloaded gun, but they're not aware of it, and then they try to shoot their buddy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you tried to kill me.
Yeah. I knew it was. Yeah, I wonder if maybe there's just a dummy button.
Mm. All right, here's another story. March 10th, 1956, a B-47 carrying two nuclear weapon cores, I don't know what the difference is there, from MacDill Air Force Base in Florida to an overseas air base. It disappeared during a scheduled air-to-air refueling. So they're trying to do that that cool air-to-air refueling thing.
Yeah.
Disappeared over the Mediterranean Sea. After becoming lost in a thick cloud bank at 14,000 feet, the plane was never heard from again, and its wreckage, including the nuclear cores, was never found. And they say, although the weapon type remains undisclosed, Mark 15 thermonuclear bombs, those are the ones commonly carried by B-47s, would have had a combined yield of 3.4 megatons, whatever that means. That sounds like a lot. But so here's one that just, you know, 1956, plane full of bombs, just never seen from again. Don't know where the hell this one went. Don't know if it crashed. Don't know if it got hijacked. Who knows? So that's scary.
I wonder where the where do you think the closest missile silo is
to us?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got this list here, but again, I don't know if it's a silo or storage.
Movies in the '80s where it's like the ground just opens up in a farm field.
Yeah.
But nuclear missiles—they don't have to be near the cities. That's the Nike missiles that are defending the cities, so they're near the cities. But. These are just, I got something that just says like North Dakota and South Dakota. The active ones are still in Missouri. This is National Park Service. I don't know how they get to just tell you. National Park Service gets to just tell you where the missile sites are. I like that NPS. I think I'd donate to them. For them. Tell me where the nuclears are.
January 24th, 1961, a B-52 carrying two 24-megaton nuclear bombs. It crashed while taking off from an airbase in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I've been there. One of the weapons sank in swampy farmland. Its uranium core was never found despite intensive search efforts, depth of 50 feet. To ensure no one else could recover the weapon, the Air Force bought all that land and made it government land so civilians couldn't go down and snoop around. But yeah, just sank into a swamp in rural North Carolina. No one's found that shit yet.
I got to buy your farm. Excuse me.
Oh, my God. But yeah, this is scary that like...
missile sites.
Well, first of all, What an example of like human error and like just how we're just screwing up the planet. Like, not only are we making these atomic bombs that could kill hundreds of thousands of people, we're also losing them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna.
Well, this is just nuclear missiles.
Yeah.
How many other bombs were just. Whoops. Regular ones that do blow up. Whoops, accident. Whoopsie. Just finding them around. This one's kind of bumming me out. You know?
Well, it makes you think, you know? It's scary.
Not me.
Not me, I don't think.
No way.
You can't make me. And then one that I've heard about for years, I heard about this as a kid because of the proximity to where I grew up, Tybee Island, Georgia. You ever been down that area? You've been to Savannah.
Yeah.
Tybee Island's just a few miles off the coast, a little island near Savannah. February 5th, 1958, an F-86 fighter jet collided with a B-47 bomber that just happened to be carrying a 7,600-pound Mark 15 nuclear bomb. That's scary. First of all, how are two planes colliding? Like,
that one always gets me. Like I guess like by a busy airport, I could see miscalculation. But you're the fucking Air Force. You're supposed to be the best at this.
Yeah. So the B-47 got ran into by the F-86, and the B-47, before it could land or crash, it got rid of its bomb, dropped it in what they call Wausau Sound, a little inlet there, where the Wilmington River meets the Atlantic. So they got rid of the bomb before it – actually, the B-47 landed safely, but – after the collision, they thought it was, you know, they were going, they themselves were going to crash. So they got rid of the bomb, dropped it into the Wausau Sound. 10-week search conducted by over 100 Navy personnel couldn't find it.
Well, that's what I got to find out.
They think it's still there.
Well, just how are these things detonated?
That's a good question. Like, if you were able to drop it safely into the ocean, I don't know if there's some remote control, some
yeah. Why wouldn't that be the case of just you could drop the bomb and then somebody else presses a button to set it off?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no accident. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. These, you just think you'd be more careful.
And they've been looking for this one forever. July 04, a small private team led by retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Derek Duke, he discovered high levels of radiation and unusual. I can't pronounce it.
Give it a shot. Sound it out.
Magnetometer readings. Magnetometer. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's not too hard.
I would have said magnetometer.
Magnetometer readings.
That's the guy from the movies.
They got readings of all this radiation just off the southern tip of Little Tybee Island. Using coordinates recorded by the pilot of the B-47, the team determined this is the most likely spot of the bomb's resting place. So they think they know exactly the area it is, but they, you know, 60 years later, they still can't find it.
Yeah, I guess there's no concern over, like somebody stealing it, you know. Somebody gaining possession of a nuclear weapon, like the way they bought that whole swamp to protect the other one.
Yeah, but like this is, you know, essentially in the ocean.
Yeah.
So I think that is an issue, though, with some of these is what if they get into the wrong hands? You know, what if terrorists go looking for these
like
an Easter egg?
Like every 80s action movie.
Yeah.
We have a bomb. One stolen nuclear missile. It's all it takes. One to hold everyone hostage.
Mm.
I always wonder how they would do, like, listen, we're going to blow up the world unless you give us a bunch of money. But then they just have a bunch of money.
Was that Austin Powers where he wanted $1 million?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay.
I gotta see if that one holds up. Man, that shit killed me at the time.
Now I watched it recently.
Yeah?
You know, just so many, like, 12-year-old jokes. Just so many boners and boogers and farts.
It scratched an itch when I was that age.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of movies that don't hold up, I recently watched Garden State.
I don't have to watch
that. When that came out, that was like early 2000s. And I don't know, that was, you know, like, it was like, oh, this is a indie film with like, oh, and he's playing, the soundtrack is all these cool college indie bands. And I didn't hate it. I wasn't mesmerized by it. But seeing it 15 years later, like, I'm not shitting on it. It's not an awful movie, but like his character and then what's her name, Natalie Portman, like some of that shit's just so insufferable. Just like, oh, aren't you cute? Aren't you just precious?
Yeah,
like, get over yourself.
And there wasn't that, so that's why it was something to see at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is like a nuance, blah, blah, blah. It sold it on the soundtrack a lot. Yeah. Everybody, it's good music and that. My friend Dan Ozzie, who writes for Vice, just did the video where they're in the vet's office and she puts the headphones on his head, but just put diarrhea sounds. It's a good chuckle. If you want to go back to 12-year-old jokes.
That's funny.
With Garden State.
Oh, my God.
But whenever somebody like, I'm going to hold a country hostage with a nuclear weapon and we're going to get... that's something to look at. Has there ever been a plot? Like, what's the most amount of money stolen?
Ooh. Like in real life?
Yeah, because, like, how could you spend...
Oh, that's a great
question. How could you spend $10 million? Like, you'd still have to just pace it out. Like, who's this guy who just bought a house for $4 million in cash?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, steal that much money? It's a very Fast and Furious plot line.
Mm-hmm. Largest bank robbery ever, up to $900 million possibly stolen.
Really?
Let's see.
But that guy's still got to just kind of like eat at Burger King once in a while.
Yeah.
He can't just be flashing the cash around.
Following a well-planned operation that involved months of spying through the use of sophisticated software, unknown hackers originating from Russia, China, and Europe managed to steal at least $300 million from a large number of banks, which are now aware of the hack but choose not to disclose these losses. Also will take up to 60 business days to refund.
Okay, well, hackers, one thing, I guess you could turn it into cryptocurrency and then use it without question.
Yeah. Speaking of cryptocurrency, I'm probably going to go that route now. I don't know, man. Just someone had not only a David Stone ID, they had a fake version of my debit card and my PIN number. That's scary, man. How am I supposed to prevent that? So the fact that they had a debit card and my PIN number, do you think that's one of those? You always hear these scams, like anytime you swipe your debit card.
I always wiggle, like at a gas station, if I'm using a card, I wiggle the thing where you slide the card in, because they say like a lot of those just come right off. So they'll just come by and the reader goes over. It looks like where you put your credit card in.
Uh-huh.
It looks just like it. They slide it over the actual credit card reader. So you still make your transaction. But it's also reading your information.
Really?
So I wiggle it. So, I mean, it's not much.
To see if it'll come off?
Yeah, if there's a device on it.
Oh. So like there's like physically a little condom over it or something.
Yeah, like, it looks like a plastic cover that looks the same as what you'd put your card into, but it's also taking your information.
And then they just come back a week later and grab that, and it's got everybody's transactions.
Or I think I remember seeing how mine got stolen once. Was like, always watch them slide your card if they're taking it at a store. I don't know. I'm probably bad with it, but yeah. So
I need to just start doing what you suggest. I need to just spend everything on my credit card, and then just pay that off.
If you have the means to just pay that off, and never let the credit card company get a single cent of your money, and then take their.
I mean, what's the difference from me making 20 transactions this month on my debit card?
Yeah, or get whatever little benefits the credit card might offer. It's just easily getting caught up in.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgetting about it.
Yeah. So you got to be careful with that. But I guess cryptocurrency, I guess you can exist that way. I like supervillains, man. Again, they're out there. Like these guys, these hackers that are just stealing. And that's not going to help you if your money's in the bank.
I hated banks so much. When I first moved here, for the first 3 years when I lived in L.A., I didn't have a bank account. I put all my money in a Walmart money card.
Oh, I remember you doing that.
Yeah.
You had to go to like fucking Pacoima.
I had to go to Panorama City.
Yeah.
Back then was the closest Walmart here. And so I'd go up there to cash checks and do all that. But yeah, I was like, fuck. That was my version.
Pretty hard.
Fuck these big corporations. I'm putting my money in Walmart. I'll show them.
Well, hey, still probably better protection over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get so upset about the bank stuff, like how badly they fuck things and they got to bail out. But if you're just some shithead who's got your couple of $1,000s in there, fuck you, buddy.
And I told the lady on the phone yesterday, I was like, she kept talking about the investigator. The investigator, he blah, blah, blah. I guarantee fucking you, if this was the investigator's money, he'd figure out, he'd solve this case before 60 business days.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, how about the fact that I don't know how much money you have in there, but if it's less than a couple $1,000s, that's a person that needs that money.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
that's somebody that needs that money.
Yeah. I just don't. I told him, too, like, you're now a liability. Like, once this all clears up and I get this money back, I'm taking it all out. Fuck them. I'll join a credit union or whatever. But, like, you're a liability. Like, who would want to bank with someone where if, to no fault of your own, you get frauded, you're now fucked for 60 business days. Who wants to do that?
I think we got to get into the banking conspiracies. I think this nuclear thing just gave way to how do we?
It's all right. Let me throw another one at you real quick. 1968, while returning to home base,
let's get back in this one here.
In Norfolk, Virginia, the USS Scorpion, a nuclear attack submarine, mysteriously sank about 400 miles to the southwest of the Azores Islands. In addition to the tragic
Azores,
okay.
I think. I'm not sure either.
No, I don't. In addition to the tragic loss of all 99 crew members, the Scorpion was carrying two unspecified nuclear weapons. They were either anti-submarine missiles or torpedoes that were tipped with nuclear warheads. These could yield up to 250 kilotons of explosive power. Gone forever. No one knows what the hell happened to that one either. So there's no telling how many of these weapons, these nuclear weapons, are at the bottom of the ocean.
And if you want to go, cause like how... Oh, we crashed. Oh, no. We secretly released our cargo, and then somebody sold that nuclear weapon to some terrorists because they're... I'm sure this has to be like Die Hard 6 or some shit. Mm-hmm. Just a movie I haven't seen yet. Right? That's got to be one. Oh, the military fakes losing a nuclear weapon, but really they sold it because there's a traitor in the military. That's a plot. That's a movie. Mm. Somebody, a listener, will tell us whatever movie it is I just came up with.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's just so scary. Like, not only do we as humans, you know, have, not us, but the human race has figured out how to make these bombs, we can't even keep track of them. What's the worst thing you ever lost?
Yeah.
Or the most valuable thing or the most sentimental thing? Like, have you ever...
Well, if I lose a joke notebook, I lose my...
Oh, yeah.
I would rather lose my wallet.
Have you lost some joke notebooks?
I lost one. That's not much. I lost one in London last year, and I was so bothered about it, I couldn't sleep. I woke up, and it was, like, dawn, and I just went out and, like, retraced my steps around the neighborhood and trying to find it.
Couldn't find it?
No.
Oh, that's a bummer, man.
Well, because... I don't even look at old ones and this and that. I'm like, oh, these are all stupid. But as soon as I lose one, I'm like, probably the best bit you ever wrote was in there.
I was on tour one time. I was somewhere in Ohio or Kentucky. I was at a truck stop, and I had to go in and take care of some business, and was just convinced that I had left my phone in the in the stall, and came back to the van, couldn't find my phone. I spent literally an hour and a half hanging out at that truck stop. I looked in every bathroom. I retraced my steps. Literally an hour and a half, just every square inch of that place,
yeah.
I was staring down at the ground, and I had covered, and went back just to take a rest and have a, had a bottle of water in the van, and sitting right there in the cup holder was my phone.
That's more of an... I always, like... I think, like, every couple months, I think I throw my keys in the garbage. There's always like, here's a thing in one hand that you want to keep, and here's a thing in the other hand that's trash, and I just confuse it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
I always lose, especially now I've been dicking around in the garage, always lose my keys. Always put my, like yesterday, I'm like, where's my phone? Oh, of course you put it on the top shelf out of sight for no reason whatsoever. Dumb idiot.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so anyway, there's a bunch of atomic bombs.
Well,
nuclear bombs.
We didn't cover anything. Just know that, people. Know that.
They're out there.
We've misplaced our nuclear weapons, like a fucking Starbucks gift card.
Oh, man. Do you think it's ever going to come to that? Do you think it's, I mean, how is anybody supposed to survive with all these? Like I said, some of these reports, modern day nuclear weapons, 1,000 times as powerful as the ones that we dropped on Japan.
There's got to be some sort of insurance plan built into them so they don't detonate accidentally.
Hmm.
I mean, they're manufacturing them here.
Yeah.
Or in a place, an allied area. There's got to be something put in place. It's not like, oh, darn.
I was reading a story the other day about apparently a couple of days before 9/11, there was a threat or a rumor or some sort of intel that ISIS had planted a nuclear bomb in Times Square, like literally in Times Square, like underneath a newspaper stand or something. I don't know. But that was a few days before 9/11. And it turned out that that was faulty information. But there was a couple of days where they didn't obviously reveal it to the American public.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of days where our intelligence community was like, oh, shit, there might be an atomic bomb or nuclear bomb.
That's still why they take that shit so seriously.
Yeah.
A bag left alone, you know.
Yeah.
That's what people are using.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was, you know, I think it was same place. I think it was Heathrow. I remember just walking around with, like, I had some trash in my hand, and I couldn't find a garbage can anywhere. I'm like, what the hell? You've got? It's like, because it's an easy place to hide bombs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so scary.
Yeah.
Just going back to like the number, they say it's hard to pin down the exact number that America and or Russia has, because especially during the Cold War, nobody wanted to admit how many nukes they had, much less lost. Estimates vary, but the general number for America is that we've lost 10 to 20 nuclear bombs. And Russia, they think, is lost or misplaced. And again, lost, or are they just not telling us? But they think Russia's misplaced 50 to 100. 11 bombs have been confirmed missing by the U.S. government alone. Estimated losses by the U.S. and Russia amount to, yeah, that's the same thing. But one former Soviet general, he claimed on a 60 Minutes interview back in 1997 that there were over 100 missing nuclear weapons from the Soviet era. He claims his claims were challenged, but no one can confirm it. But there's no firsthand account. You know, this is just an estimate from this guy. But yeah, high-ranking Russian dude says that they're missing 100.
That's one of the theories about the Dyatlov Pass incident,
mm-hmm. which we need to get into that one day.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the story about these hikers that went missing,
uh-huh.
and they were all found in kind of suspicious ways.
Yeah,
but that they maybe stumbled on some military activity, and that's why they covered it up.
Oh,
or that there was some other theory too, or it was like a. I gotta look it up. We already talked out our ass enough about this, but that's one of the ideas there. So we lost a bunch of bombs. So there could just be a nuclear explosion on accident.
Yeah, that's true.
If you weren't worried about the malicious intent that someone would launch a nuclear missile, one could just blow up underneath you when you're out there on a boogie board, just out there enjoying a day at the beach. And all of a sudden, kaboom.
Kaboom.
Although, not a bad way to go. Hey, what a great day at the beach. And then the nothingness.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what you're saying. If you want to die in a nuclear war, you know, you want to be right where that missile falls. You don't want to be sitting there just waiting for the cloud to come over and then your skin falls off.
Yeah.
You just get right under it.
Oh, man. Scary stuff. All right.
Let's bring it home.
Want to land this bomb?
This one was a... Not a lot of humor in the fact that we've lost weapons of mass destruction all across our fine land.
Got anything to plug?
When's this come out?
This comes out the 21st.
Where am I going to be?
Where are you going to be?
Where the hell am I? I'm in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania this evening.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Little town of Bethlehem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, where Jesus was born, in Pennsylvania. and then Richmond tomorrow night, D.C. Thursday night, Huntington Beach Saturday night, and I'm on a show called Paradise PD. It's an animated show that's on Netflix.
Oh, right, right.
And I play a drug dog.
When's that out?
That's coming out next Friday the 31st on Netflix.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So watch that. It's going to be real silly. A lot of jokes you will like, you'll laugh at a lot of them, and some of them you'll go like, oh, no.
That's great. And you're in, so they're doing the whole season? How many episodes?
I don't know.
So like 10?
Yeah,
I don't usually know. Those are like 10. Sure. But you're a regular character?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's great, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
College
what about yourself?
Drug dog. Let's see. I got some dates coming up here. Let me think where I'm supposed to be. Going to be in Tampa, Florida on the 19th of September. I'll be at, what's the name? Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe. And that's a free show, by the way.
When's that? September 19th?
September 19th, I'll be in Tampa, Florida. On the 20th, I'll be in Jacksonville, Florida at Dahlia's Poorhouse. That's on the 20th. And then looks like on the 21st, I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida at the Bull and Bush. And so, yeah. And then just announced a couple days ago, we talked about how you and I are separately are going to be headlining the Cola Comedy Con in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm headlining Saturday the 22nd. You're headlining Sunday the 23rd. But also Sunday the 23rd, that afternoon, 2 p.m., just announced at the New Brooklyn Tavern, a live Boogie Monster.
Yeah.
So we will be there. We've got Derek Sheen lined up as a guest. Might have a couple of great local Columbia comics join us as well. I'm friends with a lot. They got a great scene there in Columbia. So try to get a couple of those folks, maybe Wayne Cousins or Jen Snyder or somebody in there to talk some bullshit with us. But yeah, 2 o'clock on the 23rd before Kyle's show, the afternoon of your show. Come see us. And tickets are available now at Ticketfly.com for that.
Boy, howdy.
Selling fast. So that'll be fine. I'll promise not to get too drunk on this one.
Well, I can't. I got the show that night, so I got to keep my wits about me. So it's up to you.
Want to give a quick happy birthday shout out to big time booger from Milwaukee, a guy named Kevin Bellis. It's his birthday this week. Huge Boogie Monster fan. His better half contacted me this week and said, "Hey, a shout out to Kevin on his birthday would be much appreciated." I believe I actually met him and his lady last time I was in Milwaukee doing a great show there. So yeah. We don't do that often, but hey, why not? What do we care? Happy birthday, Kevin.
Opened up a real can of worms right now.
And real quick, Comic of the Week, trying to get back into this. One of my favorite dudes. He's been Comic of the Week in the past, but he's got a new album out called The Twilight Door, talking about Jared Logan. Jared Logan, Comic of the Week, new album, The Twilight Door. Haven't heard it yet, but I mean, Jared's one of those guys that get on stage and read the phone book, and I'm going to laugh. So.
Comedy power couple, him and his missus, Kara Klink.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you see them around town all the time together. So Jared's just so damn funny. A
couple of crushers right there.
He started in Chicago, right? He's a Chicago guy, I think.
He's from West Virginia or somewhere.
He's from West Virginia, but I think he cut his teeth in Chicago.
He was in Chicago for a long time.
Just a beast. But yeah, check out Jared Logan, The Twilight Door. That's probably his, at least his second, if not third or fourth album. I know he's had at least one on here before that we've talked about. But
Yeah,
Comic of the Week, Jared Logan. So no recipe today. Got a good one coming up for Patreons on the next Dave's Kitchen. I'll give you the video version of that, patrons. And if you're not a patron yet, patreon.com/boogiemonster. Yeah. $4 a month, you get the Q&A bonus episode and a monthly Dave's Kitchen series.
We'll get that Q&A out for you soon. We've obviously been reconfiguring over the summer here.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of...
Dave needs it. You got a few more things that have to go wrong.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to stay positive.
Man, watch your back out there, buddy. Do me a favor. Just...
God damn.
Still smoking a little weed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you need something, man. Yeah. You can't just traverse this world without an outlet, you know?
Take the edge off.
I'm saying it has to be chemical or substance, but we know how we live.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of weed, did I tell you real quick... She doesn't listen, but my lovely mom, as I've mentioned before, a lot of health issues, been in a wheelchair for 50 years, and that just creates all kind of just arthritis and bone issues and muscle issues, just always in pain. Got her some CBD balm. Yeah. And and one of them, and I even told her, I was like, it's mainly CBD, but there's also some THC in this. And she's like, well, I think ever since Dad passed too, it's like, well, yeah, you know, I don't have to answer to anybody. And she's like, that stuff works really good. Just see old Nancy Stone putting way too much lotion on her elbow. It just... Just getting the munchies.
Send me more. Just rubbing it into her face.
That just warms my heart, though, to think that sweet little mom just getting a little bit of weird feeling in the old noggin.
She needs a break. She needs a break.
Yep.
Get loose with it, old Mrs. Stone.
Oh, boy. Well, all right, then.
Hell yeah, man.
Holla at you, boys.
The Boogie Monster. Oh,
the show.